Merhaba there, hoş geldiniz. Welcome to another edition of Talking Brown North Cyprus. This is a special elderly care podcast where we look at what's available in the TRNC as far as finding care homes, dealing with dementia, and where other issues are concerned, many of which will affect not only local people, but the expat community as well. As always, I'm joined by my former BBC colleague, Roger Barra, who with his wife, Chrissy, has lived on the island for over a decade now. And as we do this over Zoom, I can see that he's slowly melting at the other side there. So we've been hearing over here in the UK about the heat in Europe. I know yesterday you said you'd even had to have ice cream for breakfast because it was so hot. So when you're mopping your brow now, how are you doing? I mean, there's hot and again, as I said before, there's hot.
It's very hot. It's been hot for a long time. I mean, it's not stupid hot. It's not in the 40s where I am, although it is in other parts of the island. Anything over 40 Celsius is pretty uncomfortable. And of course, I'm melting because while we're recording the podcast, I've got to shut windows and there's no good having aircon on because it makes a noise. So it really is hot. And in actual fact, I was doing some editing yesterday on my iPad. The iPad overheated. This is indoors, not outdoors. And I had to put it in my wine fridge.
My goodness, I'm surprised there was any room.
I knew you'd say that. And as long as you can find some breeze, you can still live outdoors. As long as there's a breeze, and obviously you're protected from the sun.
Anyway, I hope you, you're still with us. You haven't melted into a little puddle by the time we get to the end of this. So let's crack on. So, Rog, I think it's fair to say that the situation in the TRNC concerning mental health and care for the elderly is not particularly encouraging, is it?
No, that's something of an understatement, Sarah. And that's according to our special guest today, Professor Hatice Jenkins. Now, she's devoted all of her spare time as chairman, the Association of Elderly Rights and Mental Health here in North Cyprus. And you know what, Sarah? She doesn't mince her words.
If you don't have kids, you will die in one of the corners of a hospital in your own dirt, and nobody will even give you a glass of water. This is our facts.
Wow, that's powerful stuff, isn't it? So how did you come across her? How did you meet her?
Well, Mrs. B is actually a member of the organisation, and we've actually been to one of the seminars organised by Hatice. It was all in Turkish, but we went along really to show some support. And me and Mrs. B, we've been discussing in the past year or so, you know, what happens to us, say, if we both succumb to dementia or Alzheimer's? You know, what happens if one of us dies and the other can't look after themselves?
Yeah, and I suppose that's the dilemma that everyone faces, particularly expats in the TRNC, because, you know, it's all right if you have family you can go back to in the UK or elsewhere. But of course, many of you out there want to move sort of into the swan song of your lives. You know, you want to stay out there in paradise, don't you? And you don't have family around you. You've got good friends, but friends can only do so much.
For many of us, that's absolutely right. This is home. We've made our home here in the TRNC. We don't want anywhere else, but we do need to know what may happen to us if life deals us a bad hand late on.
And it looks as if, as things currently stand, the outlook's somewhat bleak, isn't it? So let's find out why. Well, we both got together with Hatice Jenkins, courtesy of Zoom, just 24 hours ago. And we both wondered what her background entails, as she's got such a Turkish Christian name and such a potentially British, Welsh even surname.
I'm Turkish Cypriot, but I am married to a Canadian. I studied in UK, completed my master's and PhD degree, and I was working in Sri Lanka when I met my husband, who was a visiting advisor, and I was a resident advisor. So we, at the end of the project, we got married and I moved to US. My husband was working there. And then we moved to Cyprus to try, but we settled down. We liked it to bring up our kids. It just worked well, actually. Yeah, we are still living in Cyprus after 22 years.
Fantastic. I mean, you've got a very, very impressive CV. So just in a little bit, what do you do? What is your day job, if you like?
Currently, I teach at the Eastern Mediterranean University in Famagusta. I used to do consulting jobs, short consulting jobs on in finance. My profession is finance, development finance. I'm specialized in microfinance and small business finance, actually. But the last 5, 6 years, I established the little NGO, Elderly Rights and Mental Health, and in 2018. Since then, I have been really involved in developing this sector because it was badly neglected, and all my energy goes towards trying to improve the legal and institutional infrastructure in this area, creating awareness among people, both local and foreigners. So there's a lot to be done, and time is not enough. 24 hours is not enough because we were caught unprepared. We don't have law. We don't have institutions either. I mean, we have so few elderly nursing homes, and we don't have any other elderly caring facilities. And people are totally ignorant in this field. They think life will go forever at the middle age. And suddenly they realize they need a carer, or they need a place, they need a facility to live in. So everything is a shocking, actually. Everything comes together. Suddenly you find yourself looking for a carer for your mother or father or relative or for yourself. And life is really tough. It goes down very fast after that. And you are all by yourself. The reason I established the association, as I said, my field is finance, and I was totally ignorant about how difficult it was to care for elderly in Cyprus. When I needed to find somebody for my mother, we had tough time. That was 15 years ago, but still it was not bad. We could find people from Turkmenistan, and we managed to get it through. We looked after my mother with two caregivers and two kids, looking after, visiting every day, twice a day. And that's how you really, this is the system. Finding a caregiver is not just enough. You have to be there physically to provide them, to do the shopping, to check on the caregiver, and whenever they have a break, to find somebody else. And pay them, sometimes fire them, find somebody else. So that went on for 5, 10 years. And then my brother, who is a mentally ill person, he also had, my mother was looking after him. And when my mother needed help, he was without any care or anybody who would look after him. So we went through a difficult time, and he didn't have any physical problems, but because of the lack of care, he was having a high blood pressure as well, and he had a stroke, and then other problems started. So I actually, because of those things that I was feeling helpless with all this education and money, and yet I was nobody and I was helpless, nobody to help us. I established the association. This is why it is called the Association of Elderly Rights and Mental Health. I joined those two facts that I was suffering with money and education and all the everything can go. I was a local as well. I knew where things are, but I was all by myself. The fact that I had an elderly mother who needed help, care, and I had a brother who was getting old and not having parents. He was all by himself. And both areas, in fact, are totally neglected by the governments for 40 years, and mentally ill people are equally neglected. So first thing I did was, after establishing the association in 2018, I went to the EU funds. I applied for a EU funding. It was a very small project, but that project started the, in fact, before the association was formally approved, I got the project as an activist, and we managed to get our website, get us organized, and started to create awareness in this in elderly rights. The second, I got another project, EU project, applied for a bigger project, and this is it started 1.5 years ago. It's going to finish in November. I wrote the project. I took 1 year off from school, and because there is nobody else who knows more than I do in this area, because of my hands-on experience, I knew exactly what was going on. So I wrote the project, every word of it, and I went to EU. They accepted it. So we started the project, and I put all these important things, like the law. We didn't have a law to regulate and supervise the care homes. So personally, I sat down, I found people who were good at drafting law, some of our members who work in the parliament drafting laws this area, and we drafted the law. So that was not enough, but we had to follow every day where the law was sitting, from one desk to the next desk. You know how inefficient is the public sector working. It took us another 3 months to get it from the minister that we work closely, from his office to the parliament. So now it is waiting to be discussed in committees, and I hope it is going to be, you know, completed. The procedure will be completed by the end of the year. It should be starting to be implemented.
What is the current state of help for the elderly in the TRNC? For instance, if my wife needed to go into a care home, is there room for her? What is the situation at this moment?
The situation is actually not very good, because there is no space in any state care homes or private care homes. You may be lucky to find one spot in one of the private. There are only 4 private care homes. There are 2 state-owned care homes. None of them are built like a purpose-built buildings. They don't own purpose-built buildings. They are converted from family homes, like 3-bedroom family home is converted in a care home. They are jam-packed, like 4 elderly is sharing a small bedroom. The beds are touching each other almost, and there is no privacy. And even then, you don't have space in those places. The way it works, everybody is in the same place. The Alzheimer's patients, dementia patients, physically handicapped people, mentally handicapped people, schizophrenia patients, like Down syndrome patients, we are all getting old. I mean, this is something totally ignored and neglected by every government manage the country. None of them paid any attention. So things got from bad to worse. And we are, you know, currently, because, I mean, it is in our knowledge that the government care homes, the state care home in Lapta, and there is another one in Kalkandı, there is no space. And people, the elderly is dying while they are waiting in the hospitals to get some space opened up. Until somebody dies, there is no space for you to take your elderly in that place. And I mean, it's terrible. I mean, it's the worst situation right now, I can tell you. This is why I have been working with the Minister of Labor and Social Welfare for the last 1.5 years since he became the minister. Since we established the association, I met maybe 5 ministers of social welfare, labor and social welfare, because the governments change so fast. You go and meet one of them, within a year, they change. Within 6 months, they change. So, and they are not interested. They just tell you nonsense things. And sometimes they are interested. Most of the time, they don't have a clue about those issues. And the last minister, current minister now, he was interested because his awareness came because his father was, I think, Alzheimer's. This is what I heard from other people. And he was having also, he also went through those problems as a regular citizen to find a caregiver, to find a home. So he was more sympathetic and helpful. We worked together. He came all the seminars and whatever we did, and he showed his support. And when we finished the law, we went and took it to him, and he owned it and took it to the parliament, took it to the ministers, council of ministers, because there is a procedure. Even if we can write the law, unless a minister owns it and takes it through his ministry, it doesn't come end up in the parliament. So I thank him for this, because he did a good job for us by working and taking us seriously.
I just wondered whether you think that developers can help, because at the moment, I mean, especially sort of Famagusta, Esquele, Long Beach, so many people are coming, so many new buildings. Yes. And again, yes, you know, young people, young families, but they bring their parents as well. Exactly. Have you approached any of the developers to see if they will help, if they perhaps, you know, mm-hmm. will build something and or yes. do you have to go through Parliament first?
I did approach to a construction company, one of the biggest construction companies. He is our member too. And I have been actually trying to convince whoever I could find, show them this is also an incredible potential business prospects as well, because we have a fast aging community, and we have at least 30,000 British, and now we have many other foreigners, Germans, Russians, Iranians, all kinds of Austrians. From every country in Europe, we have people who are coming and buying summer homes, some of them bringing their parents too. I know a German family who brought their about 90-year-old elderly with them. It was fine until she fell and have a broken hip. And then they didn't find anybody. They couldn't find anybody who could speak German. And they couldn't find any care homes. They couldn't find anybody who could speak German, a caregiver who could speak German. So they took her back to Germany. So this desperate situations, we don't need to wait people to discover themselves, the helplessness. We have to do something about it. We have to create awareness, and we have to put pressure on the government. You have a very good point, Sarah. I have to maybe prepare a letter to all the construction companies, ask them, this is their, at least a service to the community, to the people who are coming in their middle age, buying those homes, and in 10, 15, 20 years, they will need carers, they will need care homes. And otherwise, they have to leave this beautiful country with tears in their eyes, selling their homes and going back, a country that they have not been living for 20 years. So this is the other tragedy, and this is a tragedy of the expats in Cyprus. I have been talking last 5 years in every platform. I visited the president, Ersin Tatar, when he was prime minister. I know him. I have been talking to him, sending messages. I talked to the prime ministers. I talked to maybe five different minister of social welfare. And I have been talking whoever I could catch and find 5 minutes. I have been talking to them. Recently, one of the construction company who is our member as well. He's the father. He's the guy who really started, and his son and children taking over now. He is very interested, and he bought a piece of land in a not very expensive area, because the other problem we are going to face soon, because the land is becoming expensive, and investing in a social investment is not going to be possible with those prices, because social investments, your return is not very high. You justify some expenses that you don't justify in regular, normal profit-making investments. So it is either now or never. If you miss the train now, We are not going to find even a piece of land to build a care home on it. That's what I'm worrying about.
Hadija, a lot of our listeners are now of retirement age, and this is a problem, lack of elderly care, that will affect many of them. You've already spoken about, you know, someone having to go back to their home country instead of living the rest of their life where they want to live. What can us expats do to help your cause?
I really need your help to get our voice to be heard by the expats. I met British Resident Society. I met the chairman last year, and they are aware of our association. Julian Mavlaski is our member, but it stopped there. We need to organize social events. We need to organize meetings. If we are meeting monthly meetings, I need to come and give a presentation. This is my association brochure that was written 5 years ago. I translate everything for the British folks or English-speaking foreigners, but I don't have the meeting point. I don't get to meet people. So if you can facilitate that, will be fantastic, because I have been talking to president who is himself is, for example, close to the expats. I went to Kyrenia. I was invited by British Resident Society to celebrate the Queen's birthday. I went to the garden restaurant. I met a lot of people, and I took my brochure, distributed some of them, and I was hoping maybe they organize something and we start to get these things talked around, but nothing happened. I got very busy with my project, because the project is full of events. Like, we gave 4 education to the caregivers, owners of the care homes, and we had 7-8 seminars almost every month. I had 2-3 events going at the same time, and I have a full-time job at the university, and I am writing on the Facebook, trying to create awareness. I'm doing everything possible. 24 hours is not enough for me.
You said you have a committee. So how many people, you know, are on the committee? I mean, it sounds like you're doing it all yourself. Are there other people helping you?
The association, we have an executive board. We are 8 people with me, but I don't get help. I'm doing most of the things myself. And in October, I'm going to change my executive board. It is every 2 years we have a new administration. So this is what I'm going to do. And I have a few close friends. They have been helping me if I'm desperate.
Tell us about the demonstration that you're arranging coming up this coming week.
As I mentioned, we have been working with the Minister of Labor and Social Welfare. And I mean, I need to work with all the stakeholders in this sector. Other NGOs, the government, public, state departments. I have been doing that the last few years. And with all our good intention, we wrote the law, sent to the parliament, but all the signals I am getting from the sector, elderly care sector, the last 1 year, is getting from bad to worse to desperation. So no care homes, no space. We used to have 6 care homes. Last 1.5 years, 2 of them closed down. One of them was Sınır Üstü care home that was abusive and it was totally neglected. The elderly was dying there. And we helped to unearth and make it public. So the government went there and they had to rescue people. This was one of them. The other one was another private one in Nicosia, closed down. We used to have in total 8 care homes, 2 public, 6 private. Now we have 4 private and 2 public, and there is no space. So we cannot wait any longer. Mm-hmm. People calling me, families calling me, asking my advice where to put their families. And I am afraid. I say, here are the names, here is the contacts, but unfortunately, there are no space. Just try your luck. And last year, I was telling the government, Did you put financial resources in this area? You need care homes. You need to rehabilitate people. You need to open up new places, rehabilitate the existing ones to increase the capacity. There was no answer. Neither the prime minister's office nor the minister's office, not the president's office. There was totally blank. So this is what we did. We wrote a law, and the requirements of the law is such that all the care homes, current care homes, including public and private, they will all close down. And we are going to be worse situation if the government do not take any steps and do not put financial resources behind the state and the private in care homes, rehabilitate them, and encourage, give incentives to the other investors to invest in the sector. The construction companies, they are thinking, but they are not, they realize this is a difficult sector.
When and where is the demonstration?
The demonstration is going to be on 26 July, next week, Wednesday. And it's going to be 9 o'clock. We are going to meet in front of the Ministry of Health. And we are going to walk to the Prime Minister's office with our pancards, with other health associations of health, NGOs. You know, people are supporting a lot of people who doesn't even know us or members of our association. They are fed up and they want to walk and help us. But again, we cannot count on everybody who is saying they are going to come.
Yeah.
I am, for example, today I'm going to call the Association of Law and I'm going to meet the other women associations this afternoon. I'm going to call many people that I could think of to invite them to join the forces with us, Alzheimer's Association and Patients Rights Association. I think they did confirm they're going to support us. And the most vulnerable people in the island are the people who has no kids, who has no relatives, and the expats are automatically in this group. Even the Cypriots, if you don't have kids, you will die in one of the corners of a hospital in your own dirt, and nobody will even give you a glass of water. This is our facts. Please let me meet your people. I need to talk to them. We need to put pressure on the government. We have to get something done for the expats as well while they are healthy, because when they are sick, it's too late. It's too late.
Hattie Jade Jenkins, or to give her correct title, Professor Hattie Jade Jenkins, giving us her assessment of how things are here in the TRNC, both for local people and for expats. And you know what, Sarah? I've got first-hand information about how that care home that hasn't yet reopened, that Hatice mentioned, Sirin Institute. There was one lady that went in there to see a particular resident, and she said the staff there were treating it like a 5 o'clock in the evening to 8 o'clock in the morning. They can go home and go to bed and not worry about the residents.
So
and those that... No, and those that might pose a danger were literally restrained in their bed. The roof was leaking. You know, the whole infrastructure was horrendous. And I've heard worse stories than this from that place that I won't go over now. But it's a real, real problem. And you know what, Sarah? We have spent 66 episodes, effectively, of this podcast praising this wonderful Paradise Island and everybody singing its praises, rightly so, because there is so much to love. But this is something that I know you and me felt needed telling. There are parts of the TRNC that really need a decent upheaval. And poor old Hattie J, I just feel she's on her own so much of the time.
Yes, indeed. I mean, I guess it's the culture, isn't it? And, you know, the family look after the family. There isn't the social care that we're so used to in the UK. And certainly I was brought up short when I was over at Christmas and we sadly lost our good friend Roger. And I think that was an awakening to realise that he was in hospital. His partner's children came over and looked after her, but he needed looking after, you know, friends needed to go and look after him. And there weren't the staff there. Very sadly, obviously, he died. But if he'd had to come out and be looked after, Sarah couldn't have looked after him because very sadly, she's got dementia. So what would have happened? How would they have coped? And I think it was suddenly when you're faced with friends or situations that you suddenly realise. I mean, it's very easy to just sort of ignore all these things, isn't it? And as Hatijay says, it's only when it happens to you that you realise that there's a huge, huge gap in the system. I mean, we suffer here in the UK. You hear awful details sometimes about care homes in England. I mean, fortunately, they're sort of few and far between, but we've got that safety net and we're used to the establishment and that sort of thing. But there just isn't that level of care in the TRNC. And it is something that everybody needs to be aware of.
And, you know, we heard there, Hatijay, she was appealing to the expat community, you know, do come and help. Mm. I think one thing people can do if they've been moved at all by this is go to the website, elderlyrightsandmentalhealth.org, all one word, elderlyrightsandmentalhealth, that's all one word, no gaps, .org. And it's a good website. It's in English. As you heard Hatijay say, she's translated it all into English. And become a member and get the newsletter. And, you know, if you've got time, maybe, you know, we can all help her out at some stage. And because us, you know, fortunate expats, we will need the help as much as the local people will. And as Hatijay mentioned right at the end, you know, when you get sick, often it's too late. It's too late. So let's see what happens.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So that website again is elderlyrightsandmentalhealth.org. And if you can go along on Wednesday, the 26th of July, 9 o'clock, they're meeting at the Ministry of Health and walking to the Prime Minister's office just to get Parliament or get the ministers to understand that they need to make provision for these things because, you know, everybody's getting older. And, you know, there are people that don't have family, Turkish Cypriots as well as expats. Well, thank you very much indeed for listening. If you got any comments, then please do let us know. We'd love to hear from you. You can find us in various places. We're on Facebook and Twitter. Just look for Talking Round North Cyprus. We have an email address as well, trnc.podcast@gmail.com. I'm Sarah Palmer.
And I'm Roger Burrow. Thanks so much for listening. We'll talk again soon.